I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and our fourth program in our special Christmas study. We are appreciative of the many ways you communicate with us, sending letters through our website, calling us, and on our Facebook page. We recently heard from a viewer in Missouri, "The encouragement the pastor gives from God's Word is a blessing to me. I look forward to this every week. I hope the messages continue so that many souls will be saved and hearts will be comforted. I pray God's richest blessings on your ministry." Today we continue with our study in Dad's sermon titled, "Where Is He?" In the manger of Bethlehem. We pray this Christmas series will give you hope and that the peace, love, and joy of Jesus Christ will fill your hearts and homes this season. Merry Christmas.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're really happy today because tomorrow night is Christmas Eve. And we're going to celebrate that by a special duet. My granddaughter, Rachel, and Isaiah Vilhauer, a longtime friend of mine, are going to sing a song, "Mary, Did You Know?" And God bless you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Sleeping child.
Rachel and Isaiah. Thank you, and God bless you, young people. And that's what we're celebrating, the wonderful birth of our Lord. St. Luke writes about that in the second chapter, and he writes like this. And Joseph went up also from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And we read that story over and over, and it's always new, and it's always beautiful, and it's always touching, that here Jesus comes out of eternity, born of the Virgin, and he's going to go to a cross and pay for our sins. What a wonderful Savior. We just want to thank him. So, dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you as a Father in heaven for giving up your Son, and that he was willing to come. As a matter of fact, we're told in the book of Hebrews, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus rejoiced that he could come, be born of the Virgin, and go to the cross. And of course, he died on that cross and was raised the third day. The wonderful, wonderful story of Christmas. And it is our prayer that this day, everyone listening, everyone watching, will be sure Jesus has been invited into their heart. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now Jan's going to sing about that birth of Jesus, Silent Night. And God bless you, Jan.
Silent night, oh.
Thank you, Jan. I've been hearing that song for over 90 years. And every time I hear it, those old Christmas carols, and especially the Silent Night when Jesus was born of the Virgin, it just does something. It never grows old. It even grows better, stronger, and speaks to the heart. And if it doesn't speak to your heart, it's because you don't know Jesus. And during this service, it's my prayer, and it's a prayer of the whole team and all of us. Now, for 40 years, we've been giving the message, and it's our prayer. You will pray to receive Jesus. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you right now what to do. You just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. Use your own words. Billy Graham says if there's some sin that's really bad in your heart that you're thinking about, confess it to the Lord. You don't need to do it to any of us, but to the Lord. And then promise that you'll forsake your evil ways, whatever's wrong in your life, whatever you know, whatever he points out, just forsake them. So, dear Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll forsake them the best I can, and I'll follow you and thank you, Jesus. Be a great thing. Hope you'll do it right now or during the service at least. Well, we have some letters, really some nice letters. And just every week, we get about 100 letters a day, something like that. We have a team that works on these. We read every letter. And if there are one, you have questions, and we try to answer them for you. And so here's a letter, and it's a little different letter. This is a listener at home, stays at home, has to stay at home. It's from Harrison, Arizona. And he says, this morning I started to jump up during a song and go get something or do something when I stopped myself and told myself, if you were in church sanctuary, you wouldn't do that. And right now is that time, your living room is your church, and you need to be set respectful as you are in your church sanctuary. I can no longer go to church. I don't drive. And like you, I use a walker. God bless you, your friend. And so here we hear from so many people that can't get out, and especially in the winter months. And so that's their worship service. Some of them get all dressed up and everything, have their Bible, and they read their Bible with us. And then we have a little paper we put out called The New Song. Get your pencil and paper. I'll give you the address in a minute. But we list all of the sermons and the text. So you can read the text ahead of time, then you can see if I'm preaching on from that scripture or not, and if I'm keeping true to the word. You can kind of check on me. And then when you find something, you think, well, he's a little off base. Well, then you write and let me know. Be sure to send your gift along with your letter, and we'll read them all, and we'll check everything out. Well, let's see. The Great Falls, Montana. To help with the postage, this is a gift to help with the postage when mailing Heart of a Shepherd to listeners who can't afford a donation for the DVD. And this is the way we handle it. It's called the Heart of a Shepherd, Heart of the Shepherd. It's an hour long, 52 minutes long, something. I don't know just exactly. But it talks about Jesus. And coming to know Jesus and loving Jesus. And so we send it out on a free will offering basis. You send what you can. If you don't have anything, we send that. We have a lot of shut-ins. Some of them are on Social Security. They say, we just don't have a thing, or we're sending a dollar, and we just don't have anything. And then once in a while, some will say, we're ashamed to send so little. Now, don't be ashamed, because God has a program. And it's the standby program. And that means that there are people standing by, and they'll send in gifts to have make up for people that don't have any money and can't afford it. And that's what this letter is here from Great Falls, Montana. See? To help with the postage when mailing Heart of a Shepherd to listeners who can't afford a donation. So you just send your gift, and we'll use it to get the gospel out to the whole world. Clitheroe, Minnesota. Please send me 3 copies of Heart of a Shepherd, a copy for myself and one for each of my daughters. God bless you and all who are part of your program. And we have a lot of people that send this to their children or give it to people. For instance, you have a neighbor and you wish that neighbor would know Jesus, but you're not sure. And it's tough to sit down and talk to him about, especially for the men. The women kind of listen a little better, I think. But the men, they may be a little grumpy or something. I don't know. But anyway, it's hard to witness. So you say, I want to just give you this film. It's really been a blessing to me and to others that I know, and I'd just like to give it to you. And so you give it to them, and we'll have the message there, how to come to Jesus, just like we're doing Sunday after week after week after week. It's the same message. We're going on 40 years now. It's the same message. We don't change a thing because it's the message of salvation. God loves them, and God will forgive us our sins if we just ask him. But we've got to ask him. He's not just going to take us with a nap of the neck and say, here, Buster, I'm going to save you and jerk you around a little bit. No, he'll talk, he'll knock at your door. And you say, well, I know I got a doorbell. Will he use a doorbell? I don't know what he'll do, but you'll just know, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. And then you pray and ask him into your life. Then you'll let us know. We'll send you some literature to help you get along. Here's Hamilton, Alabama. And they say, I enjoy your program every week. I'm an 80-year-old woman, and I live alone. My husband is dead 30 years. Your sermons are so uplifting. I'm sending a little donation, and would like to have a new song and the film Heart of a Shepherd. I know I'll be blessed when I see it, a sister in Christ. And so we talked about the new song. About the our film, but now they're talking about the new song, and that's a little paper we put out every month, and it's a free and postpaid, and like I was just saying, we have the script, the sermons and the texts. You can read that. We have excerpts from letters that people send in, and then we have a Bible study, and this month, the month of December, we have Unto You is Born a Savior. And it's just, sometimes people use this for Sunday school. Sometimes they use it, and we have prisoners that write to us, and they say, we have the little new song, and we get together, 2-3 of us, and maybe there's more, I don't know, and they study the Bible together. So you just get your pencil and paper. I'll give you the address just in a moment. Here's from a letter from New Zealand, Tauranga, New Zealand, and this is a gift, a order for Heart of a Shepherd, and also a sermon, and it's on the telephone. They call us on the telephone, and I'm always interested in New Zealand because I had a granddaughter that studied there a few years ago, and she always told of how beautiful the country was and how nice the people were to her. So I just want to thank you for being good to my granddaughter. And thank you for writing and being part of our family. Here's Mabel, Minnesota. My husband and I, we both got a kick out of you that Sunday talking about 18-wheelers. Well, my husband took a semi into Chicago when he was only 18 years old, and now he has over 9 million miles on him. It's in his blood. Well, there's something got to be in him to ride 9 million miles and never have an accident. I know I've had 3 that I can think of, and I haven't ridden 9 million. I'd wonder if I got over 1,000. I had my first accident. I didn't even have 1,000 miles. I was driving to school, driving the kids to school. I probably had 100 miles, and I had an accident. So it didn't take me long. Here's Brightwood, Virginia. I love your program. It gives me hope. I watch it every Saturday. I'm being attacked by the devil. I have blasphemous thoughts against my Savior. I am afraid I will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. If it is the devil, could you give me a Bible verse to chase him away? I even ask the Lord to take my life so I won't commit this sin again. And I think this is a beautiful letter, and it's got a lot of problems. There's at least three things to talk about, and I'll do as quickly as I can. Now she talks about blaspheming the name of the Lord. Now, to blaspheme the name of the Lord simply means you denounce Christ, you renounce Christ. And I saw them, maybe you saw that movie on the news, three young men, and they're going to be beheaded because they will not renounce Christ. And so in Arabic, they say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and they're put to death. That's blasphemy. And so you shouldn't do that. Of course, renounce the Lord. Now, the second thing is she's afraid she'd lose her salvation. Write this down, John 10, verse 28. And it says, when we accept the Lord, Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then he says, I hold them in my hand. So it isn't holding on to Jesus. It's Jesus holding on to us. And the third one, let's see what the third one. Oh, yeah, about the devil. Well, James, in the book of James, he tells us something. James chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So just do it in Jesus' name. Say, in Jesus' name, I resist you. I defy you. Get out of here. And use the name of Jesus because he's scared of Jesus. Because he knows Jesus is going to put him in the lake of fire. So you just take Jesus. There's power in that name. I guess I got time for one more. Billings, Montana. I'm thinking of the nautical term, steady as she goes, and feel that's how you are helping me in my faith now that I've had a small stroke at age 82, homebound with chronic pain disease and needing the fellowship of the saints. I look forward to 9 Sundays and like a lighthouse on my journey. Isn't that a beautiful letter? That's our shut-ins. And when you make a gift and you help us in this work, you're helping us to reach people for Christ. And there are many people that can't get out. And she says here, it's like a lighthouse. You know why it's like, why our program's like a lighthouse? Because we're preaching the Bible all the time. The Bible is the lighthouse. I'm not the lighthouse. I'm the sinner saved by grace. And the Bible is the lighthouse. It's the plumb line. It's our mark that keeps us on this track. And it keeps us faithful to the end. And so when you work with us, you'll hear the Bible. And so we need to have you help us if you want this to continue. And so you need to write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need your help to carry us along. If you want to have the new song, our little Bible study, and remember, it's Unto You Is Born a Savior. That's our study. Now we'll have another one in January. It's pretty soon. And we'd be glad to send that free and postpaid. You get all of our sermons. You get a lot of the letters. We get a lot of information. It's just a wonderful little paper. I know we should be charging subscription rates, but we just don't have the heart. May go broke, but that's all right. So you write to us and help us. And help us with a gift. Help us with your prayers. And then tell other people. Christian Worship Hour. I'm going to give it again for the shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. God bless you. So I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you pay as God lays on your heart. Lord, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Luke chapter 2. We're taking different parts of the chapter and really looking in on it because tomorrow is going to be Christmas Eve. Isn't that a wonderful time? We're thinking about that wonderful Savior, that beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And so we're looking at Luke chapter 2 and start with verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And so let us just pray. And today we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iran. So, dear Lord, we are just praising you as we think of this story of the birth of your son. And those shepherds, were they, were you smiling on them? Because they were poor people and they were just looked down on and they didn't have any prestige and they didn't have any names of their names in lights or anything like that. They were just poor, poor, desperate people. And you let them see the Son of God as a little baby. And not many people saw him that way. And so we just thank you for their witness, Lord, that they right away, they left their sheep. They left their business. They gave up everything. And they went to worship him. And they had very little, if anything, but they could give themselves. And that's the most important thing. And then, oh Lord, when they were done, they had to go back to make their living. And we're told that they went back. They were glorifying God. They were glorifying God. They were praising God and all about it because they'd seen that thing and they found the Savior. Oh, dear Lord, we're praying that in our service today that there will be many who will turn to you, that multitudes will turn to you. Like the shepherds, they will turn their back on the things of this world and come to Jesus, that beautiful Savior. They won't find him as a little baby. They'll find him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But they'll find him as a shepherd too who loves them. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church. We just think about them all the time. We think about those in Iran. Lord, I know that some of them, oh, how they go through the fire. So many hundreds, thousands have been put to death. Oh, dear Lord, but we know that the moment they died, they were in your presence. They were far better off than they ever were in any place in this world. And like St. Paul tells us, for me to live as Christ, to die is gain, gain. And when they're taken out of this world, it's gain, wonderful gain. And oh, just help us, Lord, that we'll have that same zeal and love. So now we just thank you for the Christian Worship Hour. We thank you that we can preach the glorious gospel and preach it all over the world. And so we just pray that you'll bless us to that end in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank's going to sing, and he's going to sing all over the world. So God bless you, Hank.
It's Christmas time all over the world, to people near and far. It's Christmas time all over the world, no matter where you are. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he lives in people's hearts. And it's Christmas time all over the world. From Maine to California, and everywhere in between, there's people who love Jesus, people we've never seen. from Alaska to Jamaica to England across the sea. Well, even if you go to Tokyo to celebrate Christmas Eve, it's Christmas time all over the world to people near and far. It's Christmas time all over the world, no matter where you are. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he lives in people's hearts. And it's Christmas time all over the world. When Jesus came to Bethlehem, with love he came to save. Now there's people all over this big wide world who celebrate Jesus' birthday. It's Christmas time all over the world to people near and far. It's Christmas time all over the world, no matter where you are. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he lives in people's hearts. And it's Christmas time all over the world. And it's Christmas time all over the world.
All right. Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless y'all.
Well, and God bless you, Hank. Hank's been hanging around for as long as we've been going, and he never runs down. He's just going all the time. And praise the Lord. And that isn't that something all over the world? And, you know, the Christian Worship Hour is all over the world. Shortwave radio, we reach 95% of the world's population. And we reach a lot of them with television. I don't know how many. But that's the message. So all over the world talking about Jesus. And that's what we've been doing this month. We've been looking at answering the questions of the Magi. They came into Jerusalem and they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he anyway? And so that's what we've been doing the month of December. We find that he was, we see him in the message of the Old Testament prophets. We see him in the Annunciation of Gabriel to Mary. We see him in the Song of the Angels. And now today we're going to see him in the manger in Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary reside in Nazareth. They didn't live in Bethlehem. They were in Nazareth, 90 miles away. And then one day we got this word. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, that is Nazareth. Jesus went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, who his espoused wife, being great with child. And so they leave Nazareth, and that's a whole sermon in itself, that poor Mary, pregnant and about to give birth and riding this little donkey 90 miles. God bless her. They finally arrive in Bethlehem, and I think it was late evening. That's my idea. They took the traveled all day, and they got there that evening. Phillips Brooks was a great hymn writer, and he has a song entitled "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and in this song it says, "How still we see thee lie," but the fact of the matter, Bethlehem wasn't lying still. It was pandemonium. The city was jammed with people coming together. They had to register from all over the country. They had to go, and it was just one crowd. And thus we read the records, St. Luke's record. There was no room for them in the inn, and they had to finally settle in an enclosure where the animals were kept. And then the hour came when Mary, upon that day that allows no delay, and there was a baby that was born. And the Bible tells us about that birth. It says, she brought forth. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger. Beautiful, beautiful. And as far as we know, she might have been a teenager. Some of them got married early. And so it's all so beautiful, but it's a sad thing. There's a loneliness here that in the hour of hours when she needs the tenderest care, Mary is alone. That's what we read, don't you see? She wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes. She is the one there to be with him. And where is Joseph? I don't know, but I know where I'd be. I wouldn't be anywhere near a birth. We have these boys, they go to watch their men, watch their children born. Not for me, not for me. Maybe Joseph was that way. But the sad thing is, this little girl with her first child, and she's all alone. St. Luke tells us, and Mary was all alone for her firstborn. Nobody was there to help her. And so with her own hands, she wrapped that baby, laid him in a manger. And this calls for the thoughts of something Jesus said. And he told it later to his disciples. But I wonder if he maybe didn't think about his mother when he said, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that was a man born, as a man is born into the world. And that was the story of Mary. She brought forth her firstborn in that family, but more than that, he's the firstborn of all creation. He's the firstborn among many brethren, we are told. He's the firstborn as God and man. That he is unique. Jesus Christ is unique. He is God and he is man. And there's never been one like him, and there never will be another one like him. He is a special person. And that's that baby that Jesus takes care of. And thus it was that God gave the most precious thing that he had. He gave all of heaven when he gave his son. And I remember reading about the old Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown. And here's Christmas as Charlie Brown. He's got his hammer out and he's breaking his piggy bank. And he says, look here, I got $9.11 to spend on Christmas gifts. Lucy isn't impressed at all. And she says, you can't buy something for everyone with $9.11. And Charlie Brown says, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to try. And Lucy continues, and she says, well, then there's sure going to be cheap presents. And Charlie Brown, not to be undone, tells her, nothing is cheap if it costs you all that you have. And that's what God did. He gave all that he had. He gave Jesus. And then the angels appear, and the shepherds are frightened by the sight. The angels say, fear not. And they're coming and telling about this coming of the Lord. Don't be afraid. And that's what Jesus is always telling us. Perfect love casteth out fear. And he talks to all of us. He says, don't be afraid. Don't fear old age. Don't fear tomorrow. Don't fear decisions you have to make. You young people, don't fear what you're going to do in life. God, as if you have accepted Jesus, he has a plan for you, a perfect plan. And if you give yourself to Jesus, he'll guide you. All that's what he did through me. I was a dirt poor and lived out in a place. We lived so far out in the sticks. Sunset before it got to our house. We were way out there. And yet God had a plan for me, step by step, all the way. 97, and I'm not to the end of it yet. And so don't be afraid of the future. Jesus, and why not, people? Why not be afraid? Well, because we have a Savior. Jesus is why we're not afraid. So Jesus Christ is born. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Can you imagine? God is one of us. God is in the flesh, except without sin. God, Jesus, he has shown himself as a God with us, as Emmanuel. Praise God, this wonderful, wonderful Savior that we have. And in that at the time of the Lord's birth, the angels made the announcement to the shepherds. It frightened them half out of their britches. They didn't know what to turn, what to think. And the result of the information is given to us in this scripture. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from the end of heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. One translation makes it this way: they ran to the village. How far they traveled, we do not know. We don't know where they were, but it says even unto Bethlehem, suggesting that it was some distance, not just to the next town, but even way on to Bethlehem. Let us go even. And so we're told that when they arrived, yet that night, or maybe the next day, we don't know. It doesn't matter really. It just means that they came. They were willing to leave everything and come. And they obeyed the heavenly vision, and they did it with haste. And we have a word from God too. And when God talks to us, let's not put it off. If God lays something on your heart, do it now. If he tells you to change this lifestyle, change it now. If he tells you accept Jesus, do it now. Don't be putting it off forever, because that's the devil's trick. When he gets you to put it off, it's like saying no. I give the invitation. We preach the word. Well, I just say, Jesus stands at your heart door and is knocking. Open your door. And you'll say, not now. I'm going to wait. But that's saying, you're saying no. With haste, open that door. Lord, what do you want me to do? And we give ourselves to the Lord. And so they came, and they witnessed something that you and I will never witness, and that very few people witnessed, and that is, they saw Jesus Christ. They saw God in a baby, enshrined in a baby. He isn't a baby anymore. He's a strong man who went to the cross, and he grew that body so he could make it as a sacrifice. And as a strong man on the cross, he died, and he shed his blood, and he was buried. And he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. He was raised again, and he ascended into heaven. And that body is in heaven. And 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about that body in heaven, where we see Jesus as a great high priest praying for us all the time. And so this Lord Jesus, it's the big news. It's the biggest news in the world. The big news is that God is with us, that God loves us. Listen to the announcements. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And that's Isaiah 7:14. The angel Gabriel quotes this passage when he appears to Joseph. And St. Matthew records it in Matthew 1:22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's what we call the incarnation. It means that God coming down out of heaven, clothed in our flesh, yet without sin. And in the incarnation, man, it means that God is with us. God is among us. God is reaching out to us. Think of that, God who framed the worlds and all of creation and everything in it. This God wants to be near us. He wants to be close to us. He wants to be within us. As sinful as we are and as miserable as we are and the multitudes of us, and God is so great, and he wants to be with me and with you. God is reaching out to us. God is always doing that. In the Garden of Eden, God walked with and had fellowship with our first parents, and then they sinned, and the broken fellowship was broken, and God reached out to them and made them clothes of skins. Then the tabernacle in the wilderness, and there that tabernacle traveled with them for 40 years wherever they went, and they had what they called there a beautiful glory shining. They called it that beautiful thing, the Shekinah glory. The presence of God with those people of Israel out in the wilderness. You see it in the temple in Jerusalem. You see the glory of God shine forth, indicating he is among his people. He's reaching out to his people, to all people. not just to the Jewish people, to all people on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was some of his glory seen, and the disciples, we're told, couldn't even look at him. He dazzled their lights. They couldn't look upon him, just a glimpse of his glory, but he wants to be among us and be with us. And so when you come to the manger of Bethlehem, there it is. There it is. He wants to be among us. He's reaching out to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe him and receive him, he gave us his Son. He's giving us all the best gift in the world. The gift of God is eternal life. It's the most precious gift in the world, and we don't even take it. We refuse it. He gave his best. And no wonder in the scripture it says, God has a complaint among those that deny his Son. He has a complaint. And God, you better straighten out before you meet an angry God. That's all I can say. At Christmas, we are called to open our hearts and our lives to Christ, to hold him in our heart. And because we have Christ, to reach out to others. Reverend Donald J. Shelby illustrates it perfectly from an incident in World War II. A soldier was conducting sentry duty on Christmas morning, and it's been his custom in other years to attend worship in his home church and on Christmas Day. But here he is. He's kept in London, England, and it's impossible to go to church. And so he gets some of his buddies and the soldier, and they walk down the road leading into the city. Dawn was just breaking, and soon the soldiers came upon an old gray stone building over whose main entrance carved were the words, Queen Anne's Orphanage. And they decided to knock and see what kind of celebration was taking place in that orphanage. And in response to that knock, a matron came and explained that the children were all orphans whose parents had been killed in the bombings, every one of them. The soldiers went inside just as the children were tumbling out of their beds. But there was no Christmas tree, and there were no presents. The soldiers moved around the room, wishing the children a Merry Christmas and giving gifts wherever they went, however they saw, they gave them a gift. Out of their pockets, a stick of chewing gum, a lifesaver, a nickel, a dime, a pencil, a knife, a good luck charm, whatever they had, they gave them. And the soldier noticed there over there a little fellow standing alone in the corner. And he looked a lot like his own nephew back home. And so he approached the little boy and he said, "And you, little guy, what do you want for Christmas?" And the little lad said, "Will you hold me?" And the soldier, with tears streaming down his eyes, picked up the boy, nestled him in his arms, and held him close. "Will you hold me?" You know, I think, don't we all say that sometimes? "Dear God, just hold me. I'm hurting. I'm afraid. I'm alone. I'm lost. Would you just hold me once? Dear God, just hold me, because this is the first Christmas I don't have my spouse. This is the first Christmas I don't have my loved ones with me, my daughter, my friends. Dear God, just hold me. This Christmas, I have a cancer. This Christmas, I'm alone for the first time in my life. This Christmas, dear God, I'm out of work. This Christmas, I'm going through a divorce. This Christmas, I'm afraid. Dear God, just hold me." How you call the name Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. He loves us. He wants to hold us. He wants to draw close to us. He wants to get into our hearts and our soul, our very being, and he wants to help us. That's what Christmas is all about, really. His coming down out of heaven, his becoming flesh, dwelling among us, and yet without sin. Friend, isn't it something that God would do that? I read about a little boy, and he was out with his mother, and he saw and had that beautiful sky. And she says, "Mother, is God up there?" And his mother said, yes, of course. And she says, wouldn't it be nice, the little boy said, if God would just put out his head so we could see him. And that's what he did at Christmas. He gave us his son in flesh that we could touch him and feel him and see him. That wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And I want you to remember this. That wonderful God is not a million miles away. He is not a God who holds you at arm's length. He's not a God too busy for us. He's a God who takes us by the hand and he lifts us up and he holds us close to his heart. Remember what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. He takes us in his hand, and he holds us, this wonderful God. Come to Jesus, my friends. He will never turn you away. I can show you pictures and tell stories of people that turned Jesus away, but Jesus never turned a sinner away in all that Bible. His arms are open, and he wants you to come. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to trust in him. He wants you to lean upon him. He wants to open your heart to him. Thank God for Christmas. Oh, just like the little boy in that orphanage, London orphanage, just hold me. And if you're saying that, he wants to hold you close to himself. He's reaching out to you right now. He's reaching to you. He wants to come to you. He wants you to come to him. He wants to hold you. But you have to answer. And you can answer by simply saying, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins and I want you in my heart. I want you to come into my heart and wash away my sins. I want you to hold me, dear God. Because I'm afraid alone, but I'm not afraid when you're holding me. I'm 97 years old and I'm not afraid of anything because he holds me and he wants to hold you. Don't resist him. Don't turn away. But he can't hold you until and unless you ask him into your heart. And you could pray right now and say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I need you, Jesus. And he'll come in. And if you do that, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want the film, we'll send that. If you want the new song, we'll send that. But we need to have you also send us something because we have to pay our way. And so you send a gift, whatever you can, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. If you want to send it over the internet, you can do that. Just get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and we get money over that all the time to pay the way. But we have to have your help. And so now I'm going to pray, and I want you to remember, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we account for everything. And now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes that say, I need Jesus. I want Jesus to hold me. Multitudes all over the world are coming to you right now, and we praise your name for that. Lord, I'm praying for those on beds of sickness. I pray for those who are having hard times. I'm praying for the young people as they have their life before them. They need to know what to do. And the young people and the children, the little children can come. Oh, may there be victories. And may they come to you because you want them to come. You want them to hold them. And you can do that. So we put everything into your hands in Jesus' name. And now you're right. Got to hear from you if we're going to carry this on. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Now tomorrow night is Christmas Eve. But just remember this, God loves you. That's why we have Christmas Eve. If he didn't love you, we wouldn't have Christmas Eve. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we want you to come to Jesus. That's why we do the best we can to present the glorious gospel. And I sure want you to come to Jesus. I want to see you in heaven. But I'm not going to see you if you don't accept Jesus. So make that prayer and just say, Jesus, I want you to hold me. I want you to come into my heart. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I need your help and your strength. And God, Jesus will say, yes, yes, I've been waiting for that. Here I am. And here he is.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.